I'm so glad to be here. I live in Minnesota. Trying to store this up. I was recently at a UU coming-of-age service where many quotes were read from the ninth grade boys and girls who were in this program and making statements about what they believed. One of the quotes was something to the effect of, "As far as what the truth is about different religions, I guess I just don't know." And not knowing seems to be what UUism is all about. I thought a lot about this. We Unitarian Universalists are famous for not being quite sure about what we believe. There are jokes you may have heard about what happens when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with a UU. And the answer is that the person who goes around knocking on doors for no apparent reason. I've puzzled a lot about what exactly it is that we represent. When I first discovered it, it seemed so different from the Roman Catholicism that I grew up with. It contains no central mythology, no creed or statement of belief in any kind of supernatural order. It offered no God. It guaranteed no afterlife. I wondered, was this even a religion? And what was holding this together? It seemed to struggle with what it was exactly and how to describe itself to a curious stranger in a 30-second elevator ride. I would like to suggest that perhaps what UUs are about lies not so much in what we don't know, but rather in what we do know. Let me explain what I mean. Throughout our history, UUs have always had a sort of cranky empiricism. There is another joke about us, that we often read ahead in a hymnal so we can determine whether or not we can, in good conscience, sing the lyrics that are coming up. We are very serious about the truth of things. And here's something most of us seem to agree on. If something can't be shown to be true based on good evidence, then we shouldn't try to build a religion on it. Let me say this again. If something cannot be shown to be true on good evidence, then we shouldn't try to build a religion on it. So, if we can't have all the beliefs and promises that many religions have, then what is left for us? Well, what we do know is what is left. And this is, I think, one of the defining traits of UUism. We build on what we know to be true, not on what we don't. Some religions favor their beliefs over and against empirical knowledge, but not UUism. It seems to me that what we know comes first, and everything follows from that. And whatever follows, whatever beliefs or rituals or spiritual practices we embrace, they flow out of and harken back to what we know to be true. Does this sound like a religion without mysticism and inspiration? Without the transcendent experiences that so many of us hope for in a religious practice? I would like to suggest just the opposite, that what we know to be true about the world is so vast and mysterious in its scope, from the subtle intricacies and inner workings of a single living cell to the unimaginable immensity and age of the universe, that every effort we make to learn about it can only lead a sense of reverence, awe, and wonder. Astronomer Chet Rainwell, from whom we heard earlier, says, quote, "Nothing I had been taught in my religious education seemed adequate to encompass the grandeur and mystery of what I learned in science." So, what do we know? Well, we know that we are alive. Perhaps this is our best good news. And we know that being alive and awake in the universe is an astonishing thing. We also know that we are blood relatives with every other living thing on Earth, every plant, animal, bacterium, and fungus, and that every living thing descended from the same microscopic organisms that were alive on Earth 4 million years ago. our religions were created long before we discovered it. And even though this truth is incredibly profound, with all sorts of implications about who we are and what we are, still, so many of our religions do not include it in their understanding of the world, nor in knowledge or celebrated in their liturgies and doctrines. We know that evolution is the process by which all life is related, and yet some religions today deny evolution altogether, even though there is as much evidence for it as there is for the theory of gravity. To deny evidence is a curious and sometimes terrifying capacity that we humans have. Look at global warming, for example. Although it enjoys the weight of scientific consensus, still many of us simply choose not to believe it. Ignoring facts like this creates a very distorted and dangerous map by which to navigate our future. And it points to the need for a religion that starts first and foremost with what we know. What else do we know? We know that each one of us is a community of a trillion living organisms, many of whom still resemble their ancient ancestors, cooperating in complicated ways to make you and me. And we are learning that even though evolution has given us the drive to compete, it has also perhaps more powerfully given us the desire to cooperate and nurture and love and live in community with others. We are learning that humans love not in spite of our genetic inheritance, but because of it. Nature itself has taught us to love and to practice empathy because we need each other to live and to thrive. What else do we know? We know that we are on a planet. We did not know this. Most of our religions were created long before we discovered them. Catholic nun and theologian Ilya Delio basically says, forget evolution. We religious people still have to come to grips with the fact that the sun actually isn't going around the earth. And that we are not the center of everything. She argues that many of our religions are still operating out of the old medieval paradigm, which sees the earth as the center of the cosmos and the human as the center of the earth. God at the top, and that's where we need to go. But now we know we are actually on a planet, and the universe is not turning around us. We are doing the turning. Turning around our axis at 900 miles an hour, around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour right now, together. And we are all together turning around the center of our galaxy, the Milky Way, at a whopping 483,000 miles an hour. A galaxy, which, by the way, we now know isn't the only galaxy. We know there are hundreds of billions of them, and they are all moving and expanding apart from one another. Everything is in motion, from the very smallest particle in our bodies to the immense universe itself. And we know that all is changing as well. Not static and eternal, like the old model suggested. Even Einstein didn't want to believe this at first when the evidence presented itself. The universe is 13.8 thousand million years old, as far as we know, and began as a speck smaller than an atom into which all of us were squished in our primordial form, and which at some point exploded and expanded with unimaginable force and speed. That is crazy. Isn't it? It's just crazy. In time, gravity gathered gas clouds in the galaxy. Some of those stars exploded and created new kinds of matter, which was then gathered up again into rocks and planets, and eventually into us. We are made out of star stuff, the matter created in stars. We didn't always know this astonishing truth, and most religions still don't regard it as central to their beliefs and practices. Perhaps they think it's beside the point, but it's not. It's our sacred story. And so we know that our existence is dependent on all that has preceded us, all that has happened leading up to now, and that our lives are brief events in the immense scope of things. One difficult thing we know is that life needs death in order to make itself anew, which does not bode well for the prospects for immortality. But it does mean that we have the opportunity to be alive at all. Because without death, none of us would be here. that we are not really better than anything else in creation, but it is possible to see that we humans have a special role, a role of discovering and giving names to things, piecing together the story of creation and celebrating it. We can say that the universe becomes awake and aware of itself through us. We have the role of loving each other, trying to make life fair and equitable for each other, and caring for the earth. And now, with our capacity to destroy, we have the planet in our hands, and so have a very important role of striving to protect and preserve its life systems. And here is a great truth that we know, which is expressed in all the other things we have learned. We are profoundly interconnected. We are indeed one with each other and with everything around us in ways that are very important, but not always very apparent. Very important, not always very apparent. And this is where religion, our religion, comes in. Religions have always told a particular story about the world and of what it means to be human. Who and what are we? How should we live? What does life mean? And whatever that sacred central story is, it is committed to heart by those who follow that faith, told and retold, studied and discussed endlessly. Why? Because it is of utmost importance. And it's not something you just tend to know intuitively. If you grow up Christian or Muslim, you don't automatically know the story of Jesus and Muhammad. You have to learn it. And then, ideally, study it the rest of your life in order to fully live out of it. And so it is with what we know. The fact that we are on a planet is not an intuitive thing. We don't feel it moving. And so we have to remind ourselves of this if we are to live more deeply out of it. It is the same with many other aspects of our existence. We must learn about evolution and the oneness of life and try to live out of that idea by way of ritual and meditation, discussion, and support in a community of faith. This is the way we create a good and accurate map of reality by which to navigate the future and to make the right choices so that life will flourish. When I grew up, every year at Easter time, my family attended the most important liturgy of the whole year for Catholics, the Easter Vigil. It happened at midnight, and the whole church at one point became dark. This was big stuff for a kid. Sitting at midnight in the church with other people. Then, in the back of the church, a great flame. Into the world, lit at the back of the church and slowly kindled in the rest of the church by people's candles. This is an over 2-hour liturgy which featured readings and songs from our whole history, going back to Genesis, Abraham, Moses, and finally Jesus Christ. This was our whole story. But where do I go now with my kids? The light of fire in the darkness that represents the big thing. For the first time, that light invented an eye to see, to celebrate that. For the first time, human beings appeared in Africa, our ancestors. This is our sacred story. To know it is to feel at home in this world, to find happiness and meaning in our lives, to feel connected to everything. Religion, one definition, one etymology of the word religion is to reconnect. Re-ligament. Reconnect. I believe this story has the power, like any great story, to comfort and inspire us, to help us love one another, and grow our circle of compassion, and to act with wisdom. I believe that our UU religion has a very unique and powerful capacity to help people do this. To create rituals, liturgies, spiritual practices that celebrate what we know. To help create a kind of spiritual vocabulary with intellectual things we are learning and help orient our hearts to them. another quote from Chet Ramo. He says, if the prodigious energy of the new scientific story of creation is to flow into religion, the story will need to be translated from the language of scientific discovery into the language of celebration. Only when we are emotionally at home in the universe, the galaxies, and the DNA, will the new story invigorate our spiritual lives and be cause for authentic celebration. Statistics show that church going is on the decline in the West. Maybe this is because people are indeed finding a sense of community in places like Facebook. And or maybe it's a problem of content. Maybe people feel that the reality of the world that they are living in is not reflected in the church service they attend each Sunday. And I'll leave you with this. Carl Sagan said that, quote, a religion old or new that stressed the magnificence of the universe as revealed by modern science might be able to draw forth reserves of reverence and awe hardly tapped by conventional faiths. Sooner or later, such a religion will emerge. I believe that.